It's Wednesday, the 20th of July, and this afternoon at the federal courthouse in San Francisco, Josh Wolf, who is a local journalist, activist in the San Francisco area, had been called before a grand jury and demanded that he turn over videotapes of a demonstration that occurred almost a year ago. And in that demonstration, I believe it had to do with the G8 summit that was happening in, I'm trying to think if it was going on in Switzerland at the time or if it was up in Moscow, but there was a rally in opposition to G8 and the tyranny of the excesses of the global rich. There was an allegation of an attempted arson of a police car. Needless to say, the police never filed a damage report, and the incident apparently caused no damage to the police car, and so the police had no real claim for damages to this car. Yet the Bush administration called forth a grand jury in the federal district court here, demanding that justice be done to this poor police car that no damage occurred to. And so they have asked for video footage to prove that the, well, God knows how they're going to, this case has gotten pretty convoluted in its own right, but apparently, according to this press conference, no damage occurred to the police car, yet a grand jury was called forth because the federal government is claiming that since they have given money to San Francisco, they have a claim in this police car. And even the city and county of San Francisco finds this ludicrous and is about to go forth with a resolution saying that this grand jury is some sort of a strange tyranny. But in essence, journalist activist Josh Wolf has been threatened with police, with jail for refusing to turn over his video footage in this case. So that said, we have an audio tape of the press conference that occurred today at the courthouse front steps. Here we go.
So my name is Carlos Villarreal. I'm with the National Lawyers Guild, San Francisco Bay Area chapter. There's no reason really why any of us should be here today. Our tax dollars, which increasingly go to failed and unnecessary warfare overseas, are also going toward paychecks for the U.S. attorneys, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, and today, of course, the federal courthouse staff is having to deal with this. None of this time, energy, and money is about keeping anybody safe. So why all the fuss and threats to get a single videotape from a young independent journalist? First and foremost, because this case is about so much more than Josh Wolf. It is about a free and independent media that cannot coexist with an increasingly repressive and unrestrained government. It is about a Justice Department that has no respect for justice, and an executive branch that refuses to answer to anyone. It's about a government that tries to convince us that the only way to preserve freedom is for us to enjoy less and less of it. It is about taking the free and independent media and turning it into an arm of the government as opposed to a check of and balance to the government. That's what the Josh Wolf case is about. Incidentally, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is supposed to be coming to town today. He's going to be speaking tonight at the Marriott here in San Francisco and tomorrow morning in the Mission District, later in Santa Clara. We should not forget that the U.S. attorneys and FBI agents work for Mr. Gonzalez. They're part of a Justice Department that has defended the prison camp at Guantanamo Bay, domestic spying, torture, and the Patriot Act. They do little to keep us safe, everything to keep us scared. There is no reason to be scared of Josh Wolf or the protesters that he filmed a year ago. And again, there's no reason why any of us should be here today. Yet this is what the U.S. attorneys and FBI agents choose to waste their time and our money on, attacking an independent journalist who ought to be protected by the California Journalist Shield Law and whittling away at all of our rights. The National Lawyers Guild is supporting Josh because our nearly 1,000 Bay Area attorney, legal worker, and law student members support of free and independent media and the rights of protesters and activists. We have a few other speakers today, including Josh Wolf and his mother. So it shouldn't take very long. Please stick around. There's also a hearing at 1 immediately afterwards, which we hope will be open to the public. Let's actually hear first from Richard Nee.
Great. Good afternoon. My name is Richard Nee. I am Acting Journalism Division Chair of the National Writers Union, Bay Area Chapter 3. The National Writers Union represents freelance writers and editors, fiction and nonfiction authors, poets, promotional writers and editors, technical writers and editors, and of course, journalists. We have about 2,000 members nationwide and 250 members locally. Yes, we are a small organization, but rest assured, we intend to be part and parcel of the ongoing effort to preserve and strengthen the freedoms and protections that journalists and news outlets have or should have under constitutional and statutory law. And it is in that spirit that I speak here today in support of our courageous colleague, Josh Wolf. Josh's case underscores what has become painfully evident, particularly since the Valerie Plame Wilson identity leak episode. We need a federal shield law to reinforce the principle that journalists and news outlets are not an arm of the judicial branch, not an arm of the prosecutorial system, or of any other component of government. We do have a small ray of hope. Shield law bills are, in fact, working their way through the Senate and the House, and both measures have bipartisan sponsorship. The House bill is the stronger one in terms of strengthening journalists' rights. Either measure would improve our protections, and so both strongly merit our support. It probably won't surprise you that the Bush administration opposes having a shield law. The Justice Department has stated as much. We shouldn't let that deter us. Journalists, journalist organizations, and the news outlets must join forces to educate the public on why we have a First Amendment, on why democracy absolutely requires that our news media be able to report the whole truth, and on how shield laws can and do help make that principle a reality. Hang on. That kind of public education campaign is the only way we'll be able to bring effective pressure on members of Congress to back a reporter's shield legislation and to put a stop to the abuses being visited on Josh Wolf and far too many others of our colleagues. We have a saying in the labor movement: an injury to one is an injury to all. It's not something we believe, it's something we know. And it certainly applies to journalists. The jailing of even one reporter for exercising his First Amendment rights weakens freedom of speech and the press for all of us. By the same token, a victory for someone like Josh Wolf would indeed be a victory for all of us. We in the National Writers Union salute Josh for his courage, and we will use what limited resources we have to support him, because he is fighting for all of us. Thank you, and if any of you reporters need copies of my speech, I have it here.
Jose Luis Fuentes is Josh's attorney. He's here, and he's available for questions. I don't know if you wanted to say something briefly now.
No.
So he'll be available for questions, but let's hear from Josh now.
All right. Hi. I'd like to start off by thanking all of you for coming out. It means a lot to me. But before I continue, I think it's important that we remember a tragic event that occurred 5 years ago today during a G8 protest in Genoa on July 20th, 2001. Carlo Giuliani was shot and killed by Italian authorities on that day, this day, 5 years ago. And if you watch my published video from the G8 Solidarity protest from July 8th of last year, you will hear an unidentified officer shouting to the crowd, "Leave, or you're going to be fucking blasted. I'm a Fed motherfucker." Now, while these two events are not in any way directly related, they do demonstrate the level of violence that is being threatened and at times inflicted on individuals expressing political dissent of the G8 and other matters that are of grave concern to them. As an independent journalist, I am protected by the California Shield Law from having to disclose my unpublished material. However, there is no federal shield law that protects journalists, and the government is exploiting this fact by circumventing state law through the use of the federal grand jury. This matter being investigated should be handled by the local authorities, and Ross Mercurimi and Chris Daly from the Board of Supervisors recently put forth a city resolution affirming this. If the federal government can trump these state protections in the case of the alleged vandalism of an SFPD police car, a city police car, then what other state policies might be trampled by this broad interpretation of the law? At first, I felt like my case was about protecting the rights of journalists in a time when the federal government is carrying out a campaign to decimate the protections afforded to journalists and establishing the trust relationship with contacts. Judith Miller, Robert Novak, and the reporters from the SF Chronicle come to mind. But I'm afraid the situation may be even more severe than that. If the city's police car is, in essence, federal property and not subject to California law, what about public high schools and universities? What about City Hall itself? Yeah, it seems like a ridiculous assumption there, but it is no more ridiculous than what the federal government is trying to do in forcing me and trying to force me to turn over my unpublished footage and to testify before the federal grand jury. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. It really means a lot to me. My name is Liz Wolf-Spada. I'm Josh's mother. I am an elementary school teacher in Southern California, and I feel a little bit responsible for this mess he's in right now because he told me, Mom, you taught me to do what was right. And as a product of the 60s and the idealism at that time, I taught him about Martin Luther King Jr. as I taught my class. I taught him about the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement. And I didn't ever realize that it would come to this. But I'm extremely worried about him. I don't feel he should have to go to jail for protecting our constitutional rights. But I'm also very proud of him for the stand that he's taking. And I just thank you so much for your support and prayers. Thank you.
Spell your name.
My name is Liz, L-I-Z, Wolf, W-O-L-F, like Josh, like the animal wolf, a hyphen, and then Spada, S is in Sam, P is in Paul, A, D is in David. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if there are any questions, please feel free.
Could you be jailed today, Josh?
Answer that or should I? It's my understanding that if the hearing does go forward and he doesn't decide to, given the motions on the table, that it has to be pushed off or anything like that, it is possible that I will be held in contempt today, and then from there it is also possible that I will not be granted a stay or allowed bail and will go to jail today. Is that correct?
So this is a federal grand jury that is investigating the burning of a police car? I'm just like...
As I understand it, the subject of the federal grand jury investigation is the alleged vandalism of a San Francisco police vehicle. The assistant U.S. attorney has put forth that they believe there was something in attempting what you just described. I did not witness anything to that extent, nor is there anything of that on my footage whatsoever.
On your website.
And my website's www.joshwolf.net. All the information related to this case is available at www.joshwolf.net/grand jury. We fought really hard to make all the court documents public, so all of those documents are up online, including a redacted version of the transcript the last time I appeared in front of Judge Alsup's court. So you can really get a sense for what's been going on legally, in the hearing, personally to me on my blog. It's a situation where we do have a lot of public information about it, which we're lucky to have.
So if you say that there's nothing on your videotape, why are they pressing you to hand it over?
I don't think that's a question for me.
What about the injured police officer? Do they have anything to do with this?
I have no footage of the injured police officer. I was shooting his partner, who was, as you've seen the video, is kind of what looks to me like he is choking Gabe Myers, who was here. And I was filming that when whatever happened with that other officer occurred. So it's impossible, physically impossible, for me to have filmed that unless I have, can be in two places at once with magic cameras, which I can't.
Tell us about national journalistic support you're getting.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of national support. The Society for Professional Journalists just donated $1,000 to the legal campaign. Should we have to take this to the appellant court, that'll help a lot. I need to raise between $10,000 and $15,000 to successfully put that forward. It got blogged last night by the Huffington Post by a lawyer who has some interesting things to say. That's up on my website. A journalist from D.C. who runs the Guerrilla News Network just put it up on both the Guerrilla News Network on his blog there, as well as Shooting War, which is a graphic comic that he's working on. So it's beginning to be realized what's going on around the country. We'll see what happens from here.
Are you scared?
Less than I would expect to be.
I wanted to say quickly, partly in response to the question you asked, that people should also be aware that there are actually criminal actions because of what happened on the actual day when he was filming. And they're going on in local courts with local prosecutors, as they should be. It's a local issue. We obviously are not talking about those specific cases here, but the point is, one thing that we do want to make people aware of is that here we have the federal government using its grand jury powers to get information that could very well be helpful to local prosecutors, and in a way seems to go around what local prosecutors normally couldn't get. And so we don't know to what extent they'll have access to that. I don't know if Jose Luis, if you have anything. We do know, however, that SFPD investigators have been working with the FBI on this matter and have at least been communicating with them. So that's important.
Now, I have another question. So this footage that you have that they want, the grand jury wants, you sold it to a TV station, right?
What happened was the local corporate media or mainstream media began using my footage. They learned about it through my website. At the point that I found out they were using my footage, I sent them a bill, and they complied. Prior to that, there is one station that actually did contact me before using it, which was Prawn TV, and I did license it to them prior to them using it.
So could they potentially go through these other media outlets to get the footage?
Unedited.
Okay. Right. The published material is available online. At this point, the five major local affiliates all have the published material in full DV resolution. They have the same thing that's online except for higher quality.
Is there any discovery process in the grand jury process? So in other words, is there a way of determining who is instituting this case and for what reason? Do you have any ability to face the accuser, so to speak?
The answer is maybe. there is a procedure to obtain who the grand jury members are, what instructions they've been given, and Judge Alsup has so far not allowed us to do that. It's questionable whether we would be able to obtain that information, but at this point, it's probably not ready for litigation.
And then second to this, is there any precedent either way on a case like this, either toward your benefit or toward the initiation of a grand jury toward local property?
Well, there is case law. It was United States versus Lopez, which the courts have stated that in order to prosecute a criminal crime that's the same as a state crime, there has to be some interstate commerce involved. And to say that a San Francisco police car is involved in interstate commerce and therefore the government can prosecute Josh is quite a stretch, and the Supreme Court has said, has decided that issue against the government. So even the statute they're using to get Wolf's information, it just doesn't apply in this case, and there's no jurisdiction for federal government to investigate.
So if he does go to jail today, is there a procedure? Do you have plans for getting him out as quickly as possible? How do you go about doing that?
Well, we've already filed the bail motion, and a request for stay. It was filed last night in anticipation that should the judge incarcerate him today, the judge will have the first shot of giving him bail on his own recognizance, as well as staying the case for 2 weeks while we seek Ninth Circuit bail. If the judge denies that today, if we do get to that stage of the proceedings, we'll file the same paperwork in the Ninth Circuit, and they will then decide relatively quickly, probably within a week, whether to grant the bail and stay that this judge denies.
Do you know yet if the press will be let into the courtroom?
My understanding from the pleadings of the government is that they will abide by the law that this case has to be open to the public. I filed paperwork likewise on Tuesday, making sure that we were going to have open hearings and that they do not sandbag us as they have in the past. Once we get up there, they argue to the judge it has to be closed, and the judge closes it. So that's before the judge as well. It'll be probably the first issue that will be taken up, whether these proceedings will remain open through the duration, even when the government argues.
Is it open to the press, too?
It's open to everyone, including the press.
And photography is allowed in the courtroom?
The photography you would want to check with the marshal and the court. Usually they don't allow cameras in the court unless you request it previously. I have alerted the court that at least ABC was planning to bring a camera in the court yesterday, and the court just has not replied whether they'll allow the request or not.
What floor is the going to be?
It'll be in courtroom 9 on the 19th floor.
Now, typically, if someone is being held, it's contempt of the specific grand jury, so it would be for the duration of the grand jury. Do you have an idea of the duration of this grand jury?
This grand jury was impaneled in January of 2006, so the duration would be 18 months later, absent any extensions of the grand jury. So we're looking at approximately July of 2007. So if Mr. Wolf is incarcerated today, possibilities of him being in custody until July. In the meantime, there would be appeals and as well as motions to release him, as the incarceration would move from a coercive atmosphere into a punishment atmosphere. He's in there for more than a month, 2 months. It's undetermined when it becomes.
Are you able to get him a single cell, or is it open that he'd have to room with...
If he is, one of the requests of the judge would be that he's allowed to have in-home custody, to where he might have to have an ankle brace or be monitored and have home arrest until he either purges the contempt or we're allowed to lift that from the court, by the court. If the court denies that, then he would be going to one of the local federal detention centers. And as to the conditions there, it's all up to the marshals.
If your son goes to jail, what do you want his admirers to send him?
Money.
What else?
And letters.
And letters?
Letters would be great. Send me a copy of your favorite book. I'll have plenty. If this is the event, I'll have plenty of time to get to reading it. Haven't had a chance to do that for a while. I've been pretty busy.
One last question, Josh. You said that this footage is available online. Why doesn't the court just pull that footage off your website and satisfy their need for the footage that way?
The video was edited down the night of the incident and published in an edited form online. That same published version is in the hands of the local media affiliates. They have access to the published footage.
They're just choosing to get it from you and not from...
They're looking for raw footage, right? One other thing, you mentioned that there could be pleadings to the judge for in-camera or secret testimony of some sort. Is there any reason... I'm wondering if the discovery process is available to determine why they would think that the vandalism of a police car would involve secret testimony or some sort of a in-camera session.
not quite certain what you're referring to, but it's...
A moment ago you mentioned that they may either try to close off the courtroom or go in camera, essentially.
Well, their position is that there are unidentified targets who might escape, unidentified witnesses who will not testify, unidentified witnesses who are friendly that might not testify if these proceedings are open to the public. And if what was asked of Mr. Wolf in the grand jury room on June the 15th is revealed. The ironic part is Mr. Wolf has already revealed the questions that were asked of him in the grand jury room. These unidentified targets and unidentified witnesses just presumably already know what was asked, so there's no reason to keep any of this confidential. And that has been argued, and the judge has found that that is colorable. What we're saying, that's already been revealed to the public. What is there to hide? And today he'll make a ruling, hopefully, on whether those grand jury transcripts will be public.
Has Gabe been asked to testify?
Pardon me?
Gabe, the man that he was filming?
I do not know.
As far as no one else has been asked to testify before this grand jury, am I right?
I really don't want to make any more comments. Like, the case is still pending right now.
Your case?
Yeah, the case is down in the local Superior Court.
Regarding?
Is there any dollar value that you can determine the value of the police car damage and then the amount that they're spending on this case?
The police car was not damaged. The San Francisco Police Department and their own report does not claim any damage to the police car. This is all creative arguments from the U.S. attorney that somehow this car was damaged. It hasn't been damaged.
So this allegation of arson of a police car is complete fiction?
In our opinion, it is. The video, they have the videotape. It shows that that the car wasn't damaged, and the police don't claim that it was damaged.
And then, so any idea of how much they're spending on this case regarding something that is not damaged?
That's difficult because they're public servants. I figure they're making about $100,000 at least a year. The attorney and then the investigators probably about the same amount. They have three, so I would divide $300,000 into six, into however many hours, maybe a month worth of work.
Okay, so no dollar value to, no dollar damage to the car, yet they're still moving forward to the case. Yeah. All right, thanks. Yeah. Oh,
thank you. So we should probably go upstairs soon, but if people have last minute questions to individuals.
And the lawyers and parents.
Okay, great.
Once more.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right, so that concludes that press conference. There was a hearing today. It got into a lot of very convoluted issues. Essentially, the judge, if I recall right, Judge Alsup, was quite willing to listen to the prosecution's premise that this is necessary footage. He seemed like a jovial sort of guy, but in a sort of a dangerous way. Many times if a person is too eager to listen to the last person talking, they're sometimes too agreeable to the last person talking. And let's see, looking at my notes here, I kind of got the impression he made these odd comments along the lines of rules are made to be broken. Let's see what the quote was. Is it a rule or a guideline? And essentially, rules are supposed to be hard and fast, but a guideline can be finangled. And Let's see. Let's move to the First Amendment point. That was a quote that he made, and he just did it in such a cavalier way. You know, it was as if he was that darned First Amendment. What's that? What's that all about? And they apparently this very much involved the precedent of the Valerie Plame outing case. They did a lot of references to the Judith Miller, New York Times journalist, who was one of those who was involved in the weapons of mass destruction lie, and whether or not she should have been jailed, and there was a lot of precedent. So this is a really significant case in a number of different venues.